going to chat with you about getting friendly with music.
You're listening to Free Range Radio on UMFM.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Hello, this is Richard Thompson, and you're listening to Steel Belted Free Range Radio on 101.5 UMFM.
Sometimes I long for the solitary life. Parents long gone, no kids, no wife. Sister somewhere in Australia, never did keep in touch. And sex no more than a how do you do, with a copy of Penthouse and the loo. Socially a bit of a failure, nice not to have to try too much. A solitary life, a life of small horizons, dull as the pewter skies over Northwest 11. A solitary life, a life of small horizons, dull as the gunmetal sky over Northwest 11. A serious hobby in the garden shed, modern trains of soldiers in lead. Join the suburban buffets of Britain, experts on trivial things. And holidays in the Yorkshire Dales, cycling tours of the north of Wales. I'm envious of those flea-bitten on continental flings. A solitary life, a life of small horizons, dull as the pewter skies over Northwest 11. Excitement comes by subtle means, satisfaction of routines, small revenges at the office, smug little victories. You work on your pallor, complexion like paste, like the great defeat on an inmate's face. A life spent at losses and profits, resigning by degrees. A solitary life, life of small horizons, dull as the pewter skies over Northwest 11. A solitary life, a life of small horizons, dull as the gunmetal sky over Northwest 11. Come to the end, sat and alone, reliable tumor you've grown from selfish years, while all your peers have stressfully jogged to health. In life you always were quite numb, and foggy and now you soon succumb. In drab St. Bart's and the new bypass, death overcomes by stealth. A solitary life, life of small horizons, dull as the pewter sky in Northwest 11. A solitary life, a life of small horizons, dull as the gunmetal sky in Northwest 11.
Well, it's not quite that solitary, it's a little less group effort tonight. It's Thursday night, still about the Free Range Radio. I'm Jeff.
I'm the old T-Bart.
Oh wait, hang on. Let's try that one. See if Christy were here, that wouldn't happen.
Are we okay now?
Okay, that's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, no. Christy's not here. She phoned in sick. She's
Yeah, no kidding. Well, she met a couple of guys at the Folk Fest, eh? Jack Daniels and Jim Beam. I don't want to say she was drinking, but man, she's like...
Yeah, we're back from the Folk Fest with Tales to Tell.
And what tales?
And what
this
tales?
This could be the biggest tale in Canada.
I figured we'd start off with the big one.
Yeah.
The big one. And we couldn't tell it ourselves because nobody would believe us.
Well, no, because we're such, you know...
So we invited Mrs. Terry.
Right. The person that actually did it.
Right.
That scooped it.
It's an honor to finally have you on the show, Cork.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for being here.
Great. Yeah, thanks. I don't think I had a choice.
No, you really didn't. We need something to sweeten up this show between us. So you got to help us out here. So we'll start out. We should start off with the big story.
With the big story?
The big scoop.
Because I hope Stu's listening.
Coup.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Stu wasn't there, was he?
No one knows.
Yeah.
He missed out. So anyways, who wants to start us out here?
Okay, well, I'll start.
Okay. For someone who didn't want to talk, you're ready to go.
It's like the karaoke machine. No, I don't want to sing.
I know if Terry tells it, it's going to take 5 years. Okay, so here's the Reader's Digest version.
Well, don't skip out the good parts.
Yeah. Okay, I won't. Okay, so we're all at the workshop. Bruce Coburn, Richard Thompson, Ruthie Foster.
Old songs, new songs, I believe it was.
Right. So the workshop's over, and everybody crowds around the back.
As we usually do, we went straight for the autographs.
Scrounging. Yeah, everybody has to go and get their CDs signed. And there was a van backed up there waiting for Richard Thompson, and we all wanted to get our stuff signed, but his media person was there. And holding people back and saying, no, it's a bad time, he's in a hurry. And so we asked her what was wrong, and she said, told us quietly that he wanted to watch the World Cup final, and they couldn't find a TV.
Right, $100,000 in audiovisual equipment. Right. They couldn't get Channel 4 or 5 or whatever it is. Yeah.
So we had this old portable black and white TV, like you used to see 30 years ago. The guy walked into our store with it in the morning, one of our crew people, carrying it by its handle, plugged it in, and got the game on.
It was clear as a bell, yeah.
So I said, well, we have a TV, and I pushed past the media person, and I ran to the van, put my head in. I said, Mr. Thompson, we have a TV, and we have a group of people watching the World Cup final. And he said, where? And I said, we're at Corner Store, and I told him where it was located. And then the person who was holding the door open said, where are you, what are you? So I told him again, and he said, oh, thank you, love, thank you so much. And then I went back and said, Richard Thompson's coming to the store to watch the World Cup final. And the media person said, no, he'll just go back to the hotel. You can't get anything on a TV out here because our audiovisual people can't get a feed. No, it's impossible. So we said, okay, and ran back to the store. And there he was, Richard Thompson, walking down the path behind all of the food booths, looking around, kind of lost. And Terry stepped out into the pathway and said, Mr. Thompson, it's right over here.
That's the funniest thing, because we were dying to get our autographs, and they, like, we couldn't get anywhere near the guy when he came out of the tent. They had set up the most elaborate thing I'd ever seen.
Right, conveniently
they
set
had,
up all the
they
gear
had the,
there.
They had the guitar cases on either side of him, so we couldn't get anywhere near him.
Normally we could have, but
we were
stumped.
So we were kind of, and they moved really quick. So I don't even think you guys noticed that he was truly gone.
I think Bruce Coburn tunneled out. Yeah. I don't even know what.
And then so we're standing around all dejected, and Corky here goes and climbs in the van.
Yeah, like just threw herself at him.
He really, really wanted to see the game. He was a really nice guy. He just wanted to see the game.
But we kind of went back to the store. We said, well, we better be there. But none of us,
I never
believed that he was gonna show up.
And he did. He showed up all on his own.
He just walked in. Like, nothing ever happened. And then he sat down. And the funniest thing was, so we sat him down and we're watching the game. And there's how many people standing around watching this game?
15, maybe?
10, 15 people. Not a single one of them knows who he is.
No, the one kid said, was he work at the store? I said, yeah, that's right. Yeah, no one knew. They're offering him ice cream. They're stepping on his feet. They're like, no one. You
know? And they had no clue who he was.
None. Except for us.
Except for you. You were sitting in his lap at one point, I think.
Well, massaging his neck. There he was a bit stiff.
Yeah. And Corky and Christy had the good sense to stay out of the way.
All right, not us. Well, not me. I was going to say you behaved fairly well, but...
But, so he watched the game and you know, had a good time. And the funniest part was when he got up to go to the bathroom and you started to freak out because you thought he was leaving.
I did. I stood guard at the washroom door to make sure he wasn't getting
out. He's like, no, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back. So he came back and finished the game. And luckily his team won.
Right, because he was going for Italy because you know what the English and French are like.
That's right. So so he was in a good mood afterwards, which was nice.
Which was really nice, yeah.
So we got some stuff signed and he was nice enough to say hello. Here, let's hear it again.
Hello, this is Richard Thompson and you're listening to Steel Belted Free Range Radio on 101.5 UMFM.
How cool is that, huh?
And he said it like he meant it,
I
too.
Know, it's all because of you, Cork.
Yeah.
Way to go, Corky.
Cork, do you have any other folk fest stories? Any highlights? Any lowlights? Any?
No, that was my biggie. I've learned from you guys, and that was the only thing I could pull off.
That's it. That's all you got.
Are you telling a story in your underwear? Like, you spice up the show a bit.
Okay, I'm done now.
Yeah, Jeff's mom might be listening. I don't know.
I think you've scared her off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Jeff's mom is the same age as me.
I know.
I don't think she wants to hear about me in my underwear.
Okay, but some of the younger viewers may. Mm-hmm. Some of the young impressionable boys might.
Yeah.
So that was, so you were the hero.
Yeah.
Like you were the goddess that whole weekend. Right. It's Richard Thompson.
But did anything else catch your fancy? Did you?
Yeah. You know, I saw the girl from New Zealand, and I can't remember what her name is. It was something like Maharingi, and the throat singer, Tapak, I think was her name.
Tagak.
And the woman from Zar. The three of them did a workshop together, and it was the most amazing thing I've seen in a very long time. The three of them together were absolutely incredible. The one woman was singing in Maori.
Uh-huh.
The other one kicked in with her throat singing. And then the woman from Zara was just rocking along with them, and it was absolutely incredible.
That's great.
Well, if you weren't telling that story, I'd never believe it, but because it doesn't, you know...
Well, it's true.
I know, but I'm not a world music type guy, so.
No.
Yeah, but this was just amazing stuff. It was rocking and fantastic.
Now, how about you? I know we were both crazy about Alejandro.
Yeah. I mean, it was, you remember a few years ago, I think it was 2003, when Mary Gaucher and Harry Mannix and stuff were there.
Right.
And there was a lot of good stuff, but nothing truly spectacular, like nothing that we really hadn't heard before,
right,
or nothing really unexpected. It was kind of like that for me. I mean, the highlights were real highlights, but nothing really jumped out of the program.
Well, I think we had seen just about everybody. Other than that, it was nice to see Son Volt together.
Right.
That was
right. But I mean, we were expecting that to be great, right?
Right. And then you're right. After that, I mean, we've all seen Alejandro, and although I thought Alison Moore, Steve Earle's wife, was great.
But again, we were expecting her to be great.
Yeah, and...
The only real discovery that I made that I really liked was Crooked Still. I thought they were fantastic, like everybody else. Their CD sold out pretty much right away. And
Maya Dyson was a big one for me, the blues singer from England.
And that was, I don't even know what else.
Yeah, well, I mean, we had a good time.
Absolutely.
There was lots to see. I mean, Nico was great. She brought Kelly Hogan with her, which was doubly great. And, I mean, the Sadies were the Sadies.
Yeah.
I mean, I could watch them all day long.
Oh, absolutely. And how good were they at the party?
Oh, thank goodness.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, because they were good. So,
but so we'll be sharing our Folk Fest stories, I'm sure, for much of the show. So if anybody has a Folk Fest story
absolutely.
Something.
Or can better that Richard Thompson story.
That's going to be tough. But 269-8636, 269-UMFM if you want to talk to us. We're expecting a call soon from Mr. Canadian Idol, Keith McPherson.
You know what? I was so disappointed.
I can't even talk about it yet. I don't even want to talk about it yet till he's on the phone, because then I'm in denial.
You know,
I'm in a state of shock.
I mean, I'm a bit biased, but he should have been in the top five.
Absolutely.
I'm talking like out of the 10 that are left, he should have been.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't get it.
So we're gonna talk to him and find out what the hell happened last night. And anything else to add, Cork?
Nope,
you're
that's
just,
it.
Just
I'm
patiently
done.
Waiting until you're
we finish
off
rambling. Yeah.
I don't want to make a big click on the radio.
Okay, you're a true professional.
All right, we'll play some more Folk Fest music. I would love to play some Crooked Still, but I can't find my CD.
What?
I think, I don't know, maybe I left it in Christy's car or something. Okay. She gave me a ride home.
Okay.
I might have left it in there, but I can't find it. So we'll go out with, we'll play something from the one person who actually refused to do an ID.
Yes, Miss Nico.
We got all these great IDs from all kinds of people. And
Nico said, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
Did she want to be paid for it?
Maybe well, I don't know. She just said, well, I don't like doing those things. I don't. And then she said, do I have to? And I
was you should have said, yeah. Yeah, it's in your contract. Did you read it? And we might have got it.
So so we don't have Nico Kay saying hello, but we did see her, and we'll play some Nico Kay. Yeah. Is that okay with you, Cork?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for finally being on the show after
thanks, Corky.
Yeah. What is it, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
Everybody thought I was just making that up, too.
All right, Nico Case. Maybe, Sparrow, you should wait. The hawks alight till morning. You never pass beyond the gate if you don't hear my warning. Notes are hung so effortless with the rise and fall of Sparrow's breast. It's a drowning dive and back to the chorus. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. La-di-da-di-da-di-da. Glanced off metal wings in a thunderstorm above the clouds. The engine hums a sparrow's phrase. Those who cannot hear the words, those who cannot hear the words, those who will not hear the words. La-di-da-di-da-di-da.
Never seems to die. Trails spent with fear, not enough living on the outside. Never seem to get far enough. Staying in between the lines. Hold on to what you can. Waiting for the end, not knowing when. May the wind take your troubles away. May the wind take your troubles away. Both feet on the floor, two hands on the wheel. May the wind take your troubles away. Guitar and settle down. Catching an all-night station somewhere in Louisiana. It sounds like 1963. troubles away. May the wind take your troubles away.
definitely one of the musical highlights for me was seeing Alejandro Escovedo. He looked good. He sounded good.
He looked great.
He's fantastic. Yeah. He's a super nice guy. We heard a wave there from a great little disc I picked up last week called Room of Songs. It's Alejandro Escovedo String Quintet, which is pretty good.
Now, do you have his other one, The Boxing Mirror? Did you pick that up
too? I ordered it, but I haven't got it yet. Sunvolt before that with Windfall, another big highlight. Was looking forward to that for sure. And Nico Case, maybe Sparrow. And we'll be having some of your picks, I hope. You'll play something coming up soon.
Well, I brought all those CDs as well, but I have two new ones.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But first, Keith McPherson. Always a pleasure to welcome you to the show. Keith, are you there?
Thanks, man.
Okay. Well, it's good to talk to you. And so there's some good news and some bad news. The good news is that I never have to watch Canadian Idol again and never want to. And the bad news is
they owe me a new TV.
What the hell happened?
Yeah.
How did that, on
Canadian Idol?
I'm sure that I was more shocked than you were.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things, you know. It was a good run. Made it to the top 14. What a cool experiment for an independent artist. And you know, I guess the experiment held up to be true, and it was really good. You know, I had a great time being part of it, and it's always fun to have people carry your guitars for 2 weeks, and then I feel like I'm back in action, and I'm really grateful for the exposure of that. It was awesome, and Renee and I are busy getting ready to put out the record and keep touring, and it's all pretty exciting. So
for those that didn't watch it, last night they chose the top 10, and they eliminated two guys and two girls, and you were the first one eliminated, which I didn't even know what happened. Now, because
I sat and watched the whole show because I kept waiting for them to get to Keith, and then I thought, wait a minute, yeah.
So I don't know, they changed the format. They didn't do the bottom four thing like they'd been doing, and they didn't really do much drama. It was just like, you're in, you're out. And that was it.
It was very straight ahead. That's true.
That was weird. So
it was weird.
I mean, you must have been shocked, though.
Like, to an extent, I was. The reason I was shocked was just because the entire contest process for me was so positive. Like, I never had a bad comment from any of the judges.
No, they loved you.
I went in for my rehearsal for when I did the last week's song there, Tempted by Squeeze. I went in the rehearsal, sang through the song, and my vocal coach said it was perfect. And I said, well, we have another 40 minutes. Like, how can we make this better? And she was like, they're going to love it. It's perfect. And so I was under the assumption that, you know, and I was totally giving my best and really trying to just give it my best and all. And I really feel like I did. So that's why I was a little shocked. But at the same time, I mean, I'm just grateful to have had the chance to sing for all those people and be part of the show for that long. It was a really fun experience.
So
camp is over. So
I mean, I've been trying to figure out what happened, and there's only two things I can think of. Number one, that the contest is stupid and not based on talent. That's number one. That's pretty obvious. And the other was, I think it might have been the shirt. What was that Planet of the Apes shirt you were wearing? What was that?
Planet of the Apes. So actually, that shirt was on it. You didn't really get a chance to see it, but it said Native Son on it, and I just thought first of all, I love the color of it because I thought it would really stand out on television.
It did, indeed.
I wanted to make a statement. And I also, coming from Manitoba, we have such a huge Aboriginal population here. And if you looked on the shirt closely, it was a picture of an Aboriginal person.
Oh, really? I thought it was one of my people.
Yeah.
I didn't get a good look.
It said Native Son, and I just thought it was really true to where I come from. And I'm really proud of, you know, that background that we have here. And I just thought it was a great shirt, so I thought I'd wear it and make a bit of a good positive statement on national TV, you know?
True enough. And, I mean, last week when they did the eliminations, they did an interesting thing where the judges did their predictions for who should or was going to get eliminated. And then they were totally shocked because those people didn't get eliminated. This week they didn't show the judges' predictions, but I can guarantee that none of them would have predicted that you would have been out.
Oh, thank you. Well, that coming from you, man, that means a lot to me. So that's totally nice of you to say.
So, all right, we'll get over the negativity first.
Well, besides getting unfairly cut early, is this going to help? Like, is this easily amused?
I loved how you got the easily amused plug in there last
right away,
night. That was so smart.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, you know what? It already has helped us out. And I'm just, it's overwhelming the response since last night, even just people have been emailing all day, and if you go on the Canadian Idol message boards and check it out, I mean, it's just nothing but positive comments, and people are just so excited about the band, like the Easily Amused. Like, and I really had this feeling going in that, you know, I'm only half of what's great about Easily Amused, and the fact that now people that really did love what I did on the show get a chance to hear Renee and I sing together, it's so exciting to me, because I really think when the two of us play together, it's so unique and great and original and never been done, and it's just really exciting times, you know. And I come from the grassroots background, and I, you know, the whole time going through the process on the show, I just really couldn't imagine myself not booking my own shows, not carrying my own guitars, not tracking my own CD sales. So
yeah.
For me, I feel like I'm back home again where I belong, but I think going through that process really furthered me as an independent musician, because I'm not signed to any contracts, which is really exciting, and I got all this great exposure, and people have been so supportive of what I'm doing musically, and it's, especially in Winnipeg, people just, we have such a great music-loving community here, it's amazing, you know? So it's, I'm overwhelmed. I think it's just such an exciting time for our band that we've been working on for 8 years, and this is just part of the journey, and I hope it continues, and we continue to make good records and meet all these people that spent hours, you know, just mindlessly voting for yeah. me to be through on this contest. It's just, it's such a great, great time, you know.
So
I'm really excited.
Do you have a pick? Who's going to win it now?
Oh man, I don't know. Like, I guess. I did like Craig Sharp.
Craig Sharp,
yeah, they love that
Newfoundland movie. Because his voice is so like pure. It's like yeah. it's really good, and so I would think him. I would hope him, especially out of the guys who I got a chance to listen to more. Although, you know, I would also hope for Rob James, just because he's from here,
from Manitoba.
And it'd be great if we had like a Winnipegger pull through and
yeah, but
the whole thing.
He was not good.
You know what?
I'm anti-Rob James, and I'll tell you why. He's already had his shot, right? Like, he's already been on the cereal box. He's already had his shot, and let's face it, it didn't pan out. I mean, I'm not saying that he should be done forever, but I don't know. He's certainly not my pick.
Yeah.
And I've heard he's not a very nice guy. You can't say otherwise, but I've heard he's not a very nice guy.
Well, honest, as genuine as I possibly can be, he's a great guy. Like, he's been really, really supportive of everybody that's been in this contest. And he added a lot of insight because he'd been through the whole label game before. And he brought a lot to the other competitors, including myself, just what to look out for in contracts. And he was a really good guy to work with on there.
Always with the positivity, you. I don't know how to
deal
with
that.
No,
he was. He brought a lot to the table, and I thought he was great. But I don't know. Now, like, honestly, between you and me and Winnipeg, I don't know which person will win. Like, I kind of hope the Winnipegger wins, though.
what we've seen is that you can never tell, and it's not based on, you know, like, who we think sang the best. It is a popularity contest, and whoever, you know, has the most people dialing that number is the one that's going to win. And so, I mean, I noticed that you didn't at all use the Easily Amused mailing list or anything. Did they say that you couldn't do that, or are some people doing that kind of thing?
Yeah, well, it was kind of a bit of two things. One was when we went into the contest, they strictly said we can't really use any marketing campaigns or any like mailing lists, or they actually didn't want us to use MySpace accounts either.
Really?
And we fought really hard to keep the Easily Amused MySpace account up, because I feel like it's completely separate and it's my livelihood.
Yeah.
You know, and
But
I, in return, told them that I wouldn't promote the show on the website or the MySpace account, and I thought that was fair. I mean, I really wasn't in this to, like, win a bunch of votes. I wanted to be genuine and deliver good performances while I was on there, and that's partially why. And then I also didn't want to really associate Easily Amused with the show either, because it's a completely separate entity that has a completely different morality and purpose. So it's and I'm kind of glad at the end there we put in a little plug so that people could keep in touch and, you know, get a chance to see what I really do as an artist. But it's I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Like, I've learned so much through it. And honestly, the crew and the people that are behind that show are the most positive, powerful, great to work with machine type people that totally know how to make something happen. And it's so that part was really cool to just learn from those people how to really market something to the top. And
right.
Hopefully I can take some of the stuff I learned from hanging out with the gaffers and the lawyers and the camera guys and apply it to my band, you know?
Now, as you know firsthand, I'm not the world's greatest music industry manager or publicist or anything, but immediately I started thinking, like, how do you keep this momentum going? How do you turn this in your favor? How do all of a sudden, you know, you use this and, you know, incorporate this and keep things going? Like, how do you build upon this immediately?
Well, I think one of the main things initially we need to do as a band is get the word out on internet and online, and just the more people that can go to easilymuse.ca and myspace.com/easilymuseband and just leave comments and start building an online presence, sort of a grassroots swell at this point of people that really believe in what we're doing. And I think from there, word will spread. And, you know, CTV as a company too made it really clear. I really got the sense that a lot of the people that work on the crew were like, sorry to see me go. And we kind of built a good relationship. So I also was kind of talking to them about possibly plugging our next album release and trying to do some, you know, different opportunities.
Right.
So I think they're going to help too, because they want to see people that have been on the show succeed. So I think it's going to be just sort of working with them and working with our current fan base and just really building some anticipation for what we do, and going out and touring live and being, of course, genuine and writing good songs and all that. And I also would love to go bring Greg Neufeld on the road with us in his band. He was one of the people in the contest that got eliminated earlier than I did, that I thought he was really, really good. And so we've been talking to him about maybe going and doing some Canadian dates together. And
a loser tour.
Yeah, man, the loser tour.
Well,
the sky's the limit, man. Yeah.
It worked for Headley. I mean, there's a loser who turned being a loser into a big career. So
yeah, I think he's already spent his $1 million. But now, can you take your some demos and that and send them to the judges?
I mean Sass Jordan wanted to marry you. There's no doubt.
The look in her eye, absolutely. But
we were engaged.
She's pregnant with the twins. But isn't there like some producers not on the show on the judges, and like
there
is
are.
That
that's is that another possible? Thing I was thinking of doing was just sending
a demo in. They obviously liked you.
Not even a demo. I mean, you got great
you got
records.
The CD, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of sending a couple boxes of simple stuff and just giving them out to everybody this week, because I'm really grateful for what they've done, and I think if they could get a chance to listen to what I really do with Renee and Easily Amused, it's exciting, you know, because it's, I think they'd get it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's a great idea.
You said something really interesting on the show. You were talking about how you'd never really sung other people's songs before, and now that you had a chance to dissect some other people's songs and really analyze them, it was going to make you a better songwriter. Could you expand on that a bit? Because I thought that was something really interesting and really smart that you said.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was trying to always find ways that I could, at the end, because I knew there'd be an end to this situation. So I was trying to always find ways to make it a learning experience and translate it eventually into what I'm doing with the band and as a writer. So especially the last week, I mean, I got to cover the song Tempted by Squeeze.
What a great song.
That was a great song.
It's a great song. It's so good. And just sense of melody and just really paying attention to like certain musical hooks, and getting to work with that piano player, Mark LaLama, who he really interprets songs in a way that just I would never. And I don't know, just dissecting the way like phrasing happens and working with the vocal coach Bird on how to phrase different sentences and taking the original and adapting it. And I don't know, I just think it all can translate back into my writing at some level, you know. The approach that I'm planning to take is going to incorporate some of that in there, like just making words fit differently when I sing them, and I don't know, really being aware of I don't think I'm going to write Tempted, but, you know, like using that sense of melody and hook,
right,
to just, you know, I think it would be just awesome, so, for sure.
To some extent, you were rewriting these songs, though, as well. I mean, you had to take a longer song and fit it into, what was it, a minute and 20 seconds or something like that?
Yeah, a minute 20 every week.
How did that process go? Like, obviously, you're experienced enough and smart enough that you could probably do that on your own if you wanted to. But, you know, some of the 16 and 17-year-old kids, I'm guessing that these weren't their ideas on how to do this.
Yeah, the arrangement for my songs, the day before I went in for my first rehearsal, I would kind of figure out what I think would work for an arrangement. And I had a little timer, and I was like, okay, well, what are the... You know, I really had to look at the song and go, okay, what's the best part of this song? What's going to really be the hookiest parts, and what's going to capture the attention of the people watching and, you know, translate? So
yeah.
I kind of did my homework and, like, really picked a good arrangement, and I kind of pretended I was writing the song even though I wasn't. And so then when I got into rehearsal, we would just fine-tune that, and that's why I think our rehearsals were so quick. Like, I went in and... literally, like, 10 minutes later, I come out, and that was it. And I kind of regret it. Like, I kept asking Bert. I was like, well, can we have another, like, 30, 40 minutes? Because we're allotted that time. But it would have been kind of repetitive, I guess. But I always think there's something you can learn. So I'm a bit of a workaholic.
Yeah.
So I wish we would have had allotted the whole time. That was one thing that I wish would have happened. But.
Yeah. Well, but I think to a certain extent, like, their comments and her comments are probably right. Like, you know what you're doing. You did a great job. I can't think of anything that you could have done differently, except maybe I didn't like the shirt. But I mean, you have to believe that you went out and did the best you could and did a good job of it.
Yeah, no, I really do feel it. And I my main goal of the whole thing was to just get into hearts of people watching the show. And I really tried my best to do that. And so I feel like, you know, it was a real success being part of it. And I'm still back where I started in a sense. I have the same mentality of grassroots building and being an independent musician. And I'm a huge believer that that's the most effective way to build a band. And even though, you know, you can get some help from the corporate commercial side of things, and why not, if it's, you know, if it's working, you should take the ride to an extent, but I really believe that the people that put the work and the time in are going to be the most successful in the end.
Right.
And if you can use those things to your advantage along the way, it's great. But
right.
it comes back to good songwriting and hard work and
for sure.
Really, you know, getting the word out grassroots and building fans and caring about the people that care about you and all those kind of moral things that are so important in this whole industry and business, you know.
Hopefully the millions of people that saw you will go out now and buy an Easily Amused CD rediscover that.
It's going to be interesting to watch, though, from and maybe this is more of an industry perspective than from the fans, but I think that in some people are going to give you more respect for doing this, and some people are going to, you know, think you're a total clown for getting involved in this karaoke contest, right?
Definitely.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how you handle that. I mean, that's got to be, it's got to be tough, I guess, to try and balance that. But again, I guess you're just going out and doing what you do, and some people are always going to like it and some people aren't.
Yeah, it's really about that for me. And I really try to take any opportunity that comes along that makes sense at the time and feels right. And I kind of weigh things out. And once I think something makes sense and it's, the opportunity is there, you should just do it because it's part of the journey that happens. So
absolutely.
It's been really exciting journey the last couple of months, man.
Yeah.
It's been really.
Were you a rare bird in that show where you wrote songs, you play an instrument, you sing? Were a lot of these contestants, were they musicians in that, or are they just a voice, and or did they play guitar or piano? And
well, this year in particular, I think brought a lot more songwriters and established artists. Greg Neufeld, for sure.
Right.
There's a couple other ones that were, you know, at least played instruments and had a sense of it. But I did get a sense from a lot of the people that, like the other competitors, that like a lot of them were asking me questions about, you know, booking the band and making decisions like that and songwriting. And so I don't know if I'd be like a rare guy or not there. I don't know, but I definitely felt like we all kind of brought stuff to the table, and it was just a really cool learning thing. So.
Yeah. So what have you got coming up? What's next on the timeline? I notice on your website that you really don't have a lot of shows booked, which is very odd for you guys. All that's up there is Harborfest in Kenora with Matt Mays. That should be a great show Friday, August 4th.
That's going to be fun, yeah. We've also got next weekend, you know, I do all the website updates. I have to just get on it this week. But we're doing a show in Madison, Wisconsin next week. Then we've got, Harborfest. There's a few other shows coming up. I'm just trying to think what they are off the top. Renee's doing Massey Hall in Toronto for, I think we're both going to play it. It's for a blues fest coming up. What else is going on? There's a Hughes Room date in Toronto, the Rivoli in Toronto. We're trying to hook up a New York date right now. We've gotten to the Nemo Festival in Boston for September,
nice.
So that'll be fun. And we're, I think, doing a NACA conference out there, too, on the Northeast. And then we're also back in Toronto in a couple weeks finishing off some of the tracks for the new record that will come out in February.
Okay, so not till February. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, our plan, even before this whole Idol thing, was to release the record in February of 07. And when this Idol thing came up, they said, you can't really release anything until the Idols release their record at the end of the show.
What?
And it works out perfectly that that's February. So
really?
You
can't release
like,
anything until the show is done?
Yeah, just in fairness to the person that wins, because they, you know, if we were to release a record right now and put it out, it probably would do well, really well, based on the Idol thing. So they don't, and I think it's really fair, like, that the winner of this has...
screw fair.
I don't know.
Screw fair.
We are going to release the record eventually, and it's. I'm just really excited because our record is, I don't want to scare anyone you hear, but I think it's going to be sort of the vibe, well, right now it sort of has the vibe of ABBA meets Sam Roberts.
That sounds funny, but if anybody can pull it off, it's you and Renee.
I think it's going to be really fun.
No doubt.
I'm excited, and we'll see. There's actually some really cool, we're trying to do some really cool acoustic tracks on this record, and then also incorporate that with the larger, like, hookier, big pop stuff, too, and have a bit of a diversity that way. And Renee's been writing a zillion songs. I got to catch up now that I'm off the cover song circuit for a while.
Yeah.
So I've got a few originals to write. And, man, this experience, that's another thing. Like, for our first songwriter to go in and compete in Canadian Idol, there is so much material now, like, to write about. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
like,
true enough.
Everything from, like, the craziness of it to, you know, getting eliminated last night. And just, it could be not only a great song, but, like, a novel or a feature film one day. Like, there's just so many things about it.
Well,
no direction home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, and obviously it's been a positive experience, and you've learned a lot. You've done me proud. I was proud to see you up there.
You'll always be our Canadian Idol.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, guys.
We always got your backs over here anyway.
You guys are fantastic. This whole city is unbelievable, man. Like, we just support each other so well, and it's I just was so excited to land home today on the plane and be like, oh, it's like taking a great shower coming back to Winnipeg, and you know. Just everybody's so supportive of the music here, and I'm just so proud to be part of it. So,
all right,
keep making good music, man. That's what it's all about.
Keep us updated if you got things coming up locally or whatever's going on, because we want to ride your coattails now that you're a big TV star.
We want to come down and play a couple of our new songs when we get a little closer to the record launch, for sure.
You know where we are. It's the door's always unlocked.
Maybe a house concert. You never know.
For sure.
Hey, let's do a couple of house concerts. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna play something off Simple Stuff. I couldn't think of anything more appropriate, Keith, than All Need Love.
Oh, thanks, man.
Perfect.
We love you, man.
We do.
Well, I love the city, and I love the support you guys have been giving us. It's really great. Thank you.
All right. Well, here it is.
Thanks, Keith.
Thank you. to walk away. Well, it's over now. Gone far beyond the door. You will be no more. Well, it's over now. Never come again now. Still, swift becomes leaving us. Well, we all need love. Yeah, we all need love.
Hey, this is Renee and Keith from Easily Amused.
And you're listening to Steel Belted Free Range Radio here on UMFM 101.5. Talking, I sleep.